Welcome to the Friday Fix, where we give you news, and interviews from the world of Singlerism. That extra hit to string you out until Sunday's story. And now here's your host, Empty Set Entertainment's director of doom, a real girl herself, A. Kovacs.
Hey, junkies, this is A Real Girl, and today's Friday Fix
is awesome.
Scott Sigler is here with me. Hello, Scott Sigler.
Hello. I'm so excited about today's Friday Fix. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah. A few weeks ago, we ran a Friday Fix where we talked about one song that transports each of us when we hear it to another time in our lives in a different headspace and whatever.
Right.
And people have been really fun. They've sent in a lot of cool things. Doug Rapson, this morning, actually, just a little while later, posted Paradise by the Dashboard Lights, which is fantastic because that also transports me. When he said it, I was like, oh my God, that's every bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah I went to when I was a kid.
The meatloaf.
Yeah, it was super fun. In that podcast, we said, oh, maybe we should do a podcast where we look at our top five the most listened to in our iTunes and just straight up talk about that. And it was kind of a throwaway, like, yeah, maybe we'll do that sometime in the future. And that's the biggest response we've gotten. We've gotten more email or Facebook message or whatever that says, like, dudes, do that. Please do that. Mm-hmm. So we're here today to do that. We're actually doing two podcasts at once. So we just recorded one that you, by the time you hear this, you will have already heard, which was sort of a no update update that we ran last week.
Yes, it was the Seinfeld Friday Fix.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we're just going to go, we're rolling right in. So we are also podcasting with drinks, as we always do. We're still drinking the Madras plaids that we were drinking last week, but they're still cold and tasty because
they're delicious, icy, frothy, and it's very good. It's very good.
Yeah, these are fun drinks. And because I think you pretty much just drank beer in college, it's super fun because you've never had any of these
schnapps
drinks.
Beer and schnapps. In Michigan, schnapps was huge. I don't know if that was...
I think it's an age-related thing, too. 20s-ish, you drink a lot of schnapps.
Peppermint schnapps and peach schnapps and just stuff that
Making a fuzzy navel, just so you know, never making that.
I even smell schnapps now, I'm like, who are you ghetto people? Get out of here with your schnapps, because we were all so broke.
Yeah, well, of course.
Music.
Okay, so what we're doing is just going to, we both have our computers with us now. Mm-hmm. We're going to look at our top five in iTunes, and we're going to talk about what those songs are.
Okay, okay.
You want to top down from your fifth most played to number one.
This is what I came up with this concept a while ago. So if you go into your iTunes, and if you hit Command-J, you may not know this, but Command-J, let's see here. You know what? It's changed at some point. But at some point in your preferences for iTunes, you can select what columns are being shown. And mine are name, time of the song, artist, album, rating. And then I have it set up, which is show the play count. So you can show the play count of your songs. And you guys can play this game at home. Call up the play count in your iTunes. And you can see what the five songs in your iTunes that you have played the most.
Mm-hmm.
So for me... I'm going to have you go first. What's your number
five?
Are
we going to do it from five to number one?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, I'm just checking because sometimes you go right for the jugular and you do with the number five.
They used to call me the Mad Doberman. That was my wrestling nickname in the college. Yes.
Okay, so number five for me, Nina Simone's I Want a Little Sugar in My Bowl.
Can you play on that? And we'll talk about it. And I'll listen to see what levels we're at here. Nina Simone. This is a super duper sexy song.
Yeah.
It's like, you listen to this song, you're just like, whoo.
Yeah, whoo. Well. The thing about Nina Simone is she's so huge, right? You know nothing about her. You know nothing at all about her, and all you're hearing for the very first time about Nina Simone is this song. You still know that's a girl I would like to know, right? She seems like the bee's knees.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good way to describe it. And it's super, as a hetero guy, you listen to that, you're like, Jiminy Christmas, that girl knows exactly what she wants.
Yeah.
And there's no saying no to that. And this,
the beautiful thing about
it's amazing.
This song, I think, is just beautiful. It's sexy and it's cool and it's sleek and it's also a little bit pleading, and I think that that's so hard to do. It's hard to be strong and sexy and sleek and pleading and not desperate. She's not really desperate, but a little bit wanting.
The song that most reminds me of this song from the modern era is Salt-N-Pepa, Ain't Too Proud to Beg. And it's the same thing. It's like this person knows exactly what they want, and like they have to, you know, they have to ask for it multiple times. They don't care because what they're getting is so delightful and wonderful. And And it just there's something freeing in that that lack of self-consciousness. Is that what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of self-awareness and there's some lack of self-consciousness.
Yeah.
So it's two things.
Yeah.
I also think that while this song... I want some sugar in my bowl.
It's a little naughty.
Oh, this part I love so much. I don't even know what that means, and it's cool. But I think the things that are true here, her singing, the emotions she put into it, singing about, I think, an interaction with a gentleman, that, I think, for me, I love Nina Simone. I love lots and lots of her music, and that's actually true of all the protest music she sang, which was so important to her, and it was beautiful, I think.
She sang Strange Fruit, was that her?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So now, hit pause on that. And I'm very glad about this because I'm a huge fan of, for lack of a better term, girl rock. Straight up balls out rock and roll. All female groups or female fronted groups, you know, Joan Jett style of things. And I was, when I sorted this, remember that's part of the gig. If you sort by play count, you'll be able to see what you've listened to more than anything else. And we want you guys to comment on this. We would like you to comment on your top five. If you use iTunes, that information is in there. And we would love to hear what your five are. So ScottSigler.com, find this Friday Fix episode and comment on that. I was afraid it would like all be like late 80s, early 90s hair metal bands. That's what I thought all be, right? It's all going to be like five dudes. Fortunately, I have one one girl group snuck in there. And... coincidentally, it's almost it's directly related to the Nina Simone, and this is a band called the Donnas.
Donnas, of course, yeah.
Which I'm a humongous giant. I've seen the only band I've seen more often than the Donnas is AC/DC, and Allison, the guitar player's lights out. But this song is called I'm vacillating. This song's called It's Too Bad About Your Girl because the lead singer or some member of this band or some woman in general has gone to a party, sees a boy that she wants, and that boy is there with another girl. And she's basically like saying, you dump that girl. You should come get with me because tonight I'm your girl.
Yeah.
And this whole song is about... And the guitar work is great. And
yeah, they were such
Brett
a great
singing
band.
Is great and live. These they're done, and I don't think they'll ever tour again. But holy crap, these girls could put on a show. Just
and they were
straight
great.
Out rock.
Yeah. This is an interesting song also because as a kind of a strange match to my number five because it's not they're rock and rollers, and I'm not saying that they're not feminist or they're not girl power or anything. They certainly obviously are. They're fucking an all girl band. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
At the same time, this particular song is like, sugar, I don't think she treats you all that right, and I think I'm pretty sure I could treat you better, but I'm not messing with that until your girl is gone.
That's a much better take on the lyrics, actually. Basically, the whole song is lyrics about, that girl is not treating you right, what's wrong with you? You got all this waiting for you right here. But it's just so bawdy and so out there, and it's just, you know... There's some lyrics about getting in the backseat in there. And the guitarist's name is Allison Robertson. And I think probably one of the top five underrated guitarists in hard rock. She just is like very Angus Young school of just straight up fantastic. And live, she was lights out.
Cool.
Okay. If you were smart, you'd send her home on BART before the real trouble starts. Because they're a Bay Area, group.
That's great.
What's your number four?
My number four. So one thing I found out just, I mean, we just did this. I know you curate your iTunes quite a lot more than I do. But we're not looking at stars. We're looking at plays.
Just straight play count.
So it's interesting. I didn't do that till I sat down at the recording desk with you. And so my number five is Kenny Wayne Shepherd's Live On.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Can you hit play on that stuff
I
right
will.
There?
Oops. That's still Nina Simone. It's a.
I love this song. I love it so much.
Yeah, I would have thought there's only this song, I think, in my top five. That sort of West Texas, sort of Southern guitar-based rock.
Right.
And Kenny Wayne Shepherd is a virtuoso guitarist. He's super skinny, super long, super stringy blonde hair.
Yeah.
He's brilliant and beautiful.
He was 17 when he recorded the song.
Yeah.
Seven fucking teen years old.
Yeah. And this is a song about somebody who's like, baby, maybe even not baby. It could be like your mama or your best friend or whoever. Yeah. But he's saying to somebody he very clearly loves. I think he's saying to somebody he very clearly loves, I wish I could do this for you, whatever you're going through.
Uh-huh.
I wish I could help you or take it away. But you got to live through it.
Yeah.
And I know you can live through it.
Do you have the album name? Do you have that called up?
I don't. I think it's called Live On, but let me check.
My love for Kenny Wayne Shepherd's artistry is renewed because I was tweeting about Kenny Wayne Shepherd. And of course, I put in Kenny Wayne Shepherd's tweet address, and Kenny Wayne Shepherd retweeted me tweeting about his music.
No way.
And I crapped myself. I was like, are you shitting me? I was so excited.
So I have, and junkies will know this, I have a little bit of trouble, lifelong trouble with something called event-related insomnia, which is great for somebody who used to be an event planner, but it isn't exactly the same kind of event. And
Okay. So
big, big decisions, big, big things in my life, I get sort of transient, temporary insomnia.
Mm-hmm.
And this song is one of those things where, like, I mean, if you ever heard, if anybody ever, here, I'll...
Keep going.
Anybody ever... saw the conversation when you were in Australia in 2010. I'll link to that.
you got that sweet.
Yeah, that we made it a blog post at one point, but I'll link to that in the show notes. This is exactly the sort of thing that I live through all the time. And I was, I think, contemplating moving to California in 1996.
Okay.
And was having a really hard time. Peter and I were having a really hard time kind of winging that. And we were going to be moving from Nashville to California. And it was a lot of work. We were quite young. And I listened and got a chance to go to Austin, to a place, actually to Green, Texas.
Okay.
And that's a little outside of Austin. And they've got this great bar that I wish I could live my whole life in called Green Hall. And it's a big kind of clapboard wooden place. And their windows are corrugated tin that they prop open.
Okay.
And they serve all sorts of drinks as long as it's wine or beer. You know, pretty much. And... it's the best music hall I've ever been to in my whole life.
Okay.
And I saw Kenny Wayne Shepherd perform there by himself. And
by himself?
Was this before
all the stardom hit?
No, I mean, I think it was during the stardom. It might have been the Kenny Wayne Shepherd band now that I think about it. But it was, you know, very clearly about him. And it was just brilliant. And this is goofy to say, but this song came on and I was like, I cried and I was like, this is what I came here for. I came here to hear, as it turns out, to hear him sing this song. And I think everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And then like a month later, moved to California.
Sweet. And this is Noah Hunt is the singer. This is one if it comes on when you're not here. Oh, there's some serious singing going on.
Yeah.
The FTO.
The FTO's
impression of Noah Hunt is, I can't believe this one's not in my top five, but it's in there somewhere, but it's not. All right.
All right, ready? So I'm going to turn this down.
My number four. Now this one, I'm going to go ahead and hit play. This is some serious metal. The album name is Kings of Metal. And this is one I'm very, very close to because it's one my dad used as one of our high school football theme songs. He would pick a crazy metal, rock, AC/DC, something like that, except one year. So there was always a theme song that we would listen to right before we went out on the field. And it would just 16, 17-year-old boys listen to metal. It's an awesome fire. This is Man of War, Heart of Steel.
Okay, Man of War?
Man of War.
There's anybody out there that doesn't know Man of War, especially, now listen, junkies. I know a lot of you junkies are girls just like me.
Ride a comet, my tail is long to see. Go ahead.
If you're a girl junkie and you've never heard Man of War... and you're then going to go listen on iTunes, your instinct is maybe going to be a little like, are you fucking kidding me? Like a little offended. Yeah. But they, if you listen to a lot of their songs, just like this one, turn up a little.
Yeah.
Turn
okay. Times my heart hangs low.
Every one of their songs is this.
Born to walk against the wind. Born to hear my name. Wait, here's the best part. No matter where I stand, I'm alone.
All of their songs are the ultimate cheese. The
so great.
Absolute ultimate drama.
It's my dad calls it medieval church metal music.
Oh, and it totally is. But they, and if you read anything about Man of War, they know they are keeping alive the tradition of ridiculous cheese ball rock.
Ridiculous. They own it all. They refer to their guitar techs as their armorers. Mm-hmm. Like it's no one owns their cheese and their crazy stuff more than Man of War does. The thing is, Man of War doesn't give a fuck and they don't apologize for anything. Wait, we'll listen to the pickup. Here it comes.
Burn the bridge behind you. Leave no retreat.
I can't believe Man of War is in your top five.
Now this, to buy fully into the cheese, when I'm really down and I'm having a hard time, like, why the fuck am I working so hard if this is what I get out of it? And why am I sacrificing so much of my life for this, to get this over here? I will absolutely cue this up, crank up the stereo as loud as it will go, and just kind of embrace. It's campy. It's super fun.
Camp is a great phrase for this. Yeah. And you wouldn't think that with proficient metal musicians, camp comes into play.
Yeah.
You know, they're Steel Panther. They're totally tongue-in-cheek, totally a parody. Like, they're totally supposed to be the Onion of metal music.
Yeah.
That's not Manowar. They know that their lyrics are very Valhalla, very Odin, very cheesy. And they're like, but we're going to do that 110%. There's I in team.
They're all the way in, and they're spectacular and wonderful. So the if you want to check out Manowar, the album to get is Kings of Metal. It is ridiculous and fantastic, and you will absolutely enjoy it. And you will probably want to punch someone in the mouth while you're listening to it. I'm afraid that's a side effect.
Oh. Okay. So my, what is it, number three now?
You're number three, correct. In your top five iTunes songs, most played songs in your iTunes.
Sorted by plays. Yep. My number three is a Jay-Z song off the Blueprint 3 called Young Forever.
Okay.
And
okay.
I'm an 80s baby. I graduated in 1989, so you'll understand why if I play a little. Wait, what? Did I say Young Forever? That sounds like Alphaville, doesn't it? Sounds like Alphaville Forever Young. Am I wrong?
It does sound like that, doesn't it?
Jay-Z? What? Wait a minute. That's not Jay-Z. Jay-Z married Beyonce, who's hot like fire.
Yeah.
Jay-Z, hot like fire. That's that white, skinny British dude, right?
Yeah.
Who's in Alphaville.
Okay.
Who's singing Forever Young, which was the anthem of my high school senior year, right? Life is a short trip and music's for the sad man. Oh, what?
I always thought this was Sting.
Nope. Alphaville.
Okay. It sounds like Sting.
But what is that? There's a little bit of hip in there.
There's a little 808 drum machine going on in there somewhere.
A little bit of hi-hat in there.
Yeah.
Who was that?
Tell them about Jay-Z. Every song starts like,
What's happening? You guys can't see, but I'm dancing.
If you start cabbage patching, I'll be so happy. There it is. We should
so I love this song because Jay-Z turns out to be not all that much older than me.
Oh, okay.
And you hop your pretty ass up on the hood of that pretty ass car without a wrinkle in today. There's no tomorrow. Right? It's totally Jay-Z.
I'm entertained right now. Yeah. Honestly, this is awesome.
It's such a beautiful song. I mean, he's so, so talented, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can't tell by my voice and you've never seen a picture of me, I'm a plush 40-something very white girl.
Yeah.
And the thing that I think is beautiful about Dr. Dre and I think was beautiful about N.W.A., which sounds crazy, but it's true about N.W.A., certainly true about Jay-Z, is they made music that made them happy.
Yeah.
And this, I think, is a perfect example of this. I love this song so much. One of the reasons, no doubt, is because I loved Alphaville's Forever Young.
Okay.
Another big reason is that Jay-Z loved Alphaville's Forever Young so much.
He's a huge music fan. Huge. I mean, he's just, which is what's, that's what I like about him and a lot of his class of, for example, as people can on sometimes, they don't give a shit. They don't care what the music is. They just love music. A good song is a good song is a good song. And then he will work anything into his repertoire. It's awesome.
Right. Wait. Just what you could become here. And I love, oh, here's the other part I love so much.
Yeah.
That's how you let me know, baby. He kind of talks about, like, the thing that's beautiful about this, I'll lower it a little bit,
okay. Is
he clearly loves the music that he grew up with. Mm-hmm. And the music that he grew up with, as it turns out, because he's sort of my age, is the music I grew up with, so that helps. But also, this song for him is talking about that he can stand back from a sort of a third-person perspective and see that the things he wanted when he was young, he has somewhat achieved.
Mm-hmm.
And that now he has an obligation to the people he loves now, but also to the people who are just like him at 13,
who are dreaming,
who are looking at him,
scrapping,
saying someday,
right? Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think that I hate to say this because I don't mean
to
take away from Jay-Z because I love this song so much and I love this whole album so much, the Blueprint 3, but I actually also think that's true of Will Smith. Will Smith writes about music, or writes music that's about more than just who he is today. And I love that, mm-hmm. especially since he's sort of the friendly, shiny, accessible rapper.
Well, I like this, and I'll roll in my number three, is real musicians, people who are in love with music and are fortunate enough to make music for a living, could really give a rat's ass 9 times out of 10 what genre the music is. Real musician hears a hook and is like, oh shit, what was that? Like that, you can see it in the brothers who rap, you can see it in the country girls who sing, you can see it in the skinny white boys addicted to heroin who are making rock. you hear that hook and you're like, what was that? Like, you, like, right off the bat. And Jay-Z kind of personifies, you know, you go back to Elvis. Elvis didn't give a rat. He didn't give a shit. He's like, that's great, I'll do that. That sounds awesome, I like that. And didn't
well,
care what it was.
Well, a lot of Memphis is like that. A lot of Memphis music is like
that. Oh, I just went to Memphis. Yeah, it was great. The combination
of black
and white.
Where what they love is the talent.
Oh, yeah. Memphis is big on that. We'll talk about that some other time. That's a whole separate conversation. Because now, my number three is, this is, when I set up playlists, I put in parentheses at the end of the song name, what character it is and what, if it's their theme song. So this is Colding's theme from Ancestor. So obviously I listened to this a lot when I was writing Ancestor, which was a very difficult write. So I listened to it a lot of times. But this is As Metal as Metal Gets. This is All That Remains. And Whispers, in parentheses, I hear in parentheses, Colding's theme. And this is a lot of what I like. This, I think it's Swedish metal influence, very melodic, screaming metal, but with crazy melodic choruses. So
yeah.
This guy is destroying his throat as we listen right now. And this is what's amazing, the song. So again, this is All That Remains off The Fall of Ideals. It's called Whispers. But you're hearing this and you're like, as a bassist and a guitar player, I hear this and I'm like, this is some amazing instrumentation. But I'm a melody guy. I like hooks. I like something you can sing to. And so you hear this crazy shit. And then, well, here we go, coming up.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he does that. I've seen them live, and they do this note for note. He is absolutely gargling sandpaper. And then all of a sudden, like, baritone, crazy. If I have that right, is that baritone?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this crazy, crystal clear baritone. And just this dude just owned the entire, I saw him in San Francisco.
Nice.
And he just, you know, would do like the microphone in one hand and holding up the other hand. And there was 1,000 people there who were just slack jawed, eyes open, staring at him. And it's, I don't have a lot, like, we don't have as many stories about this one. It's just a song that's crazy, percolated up to the top. 206 plays on this song.
Nice.
Yeah. What is your number two?
So
man?
Wait, I want to first say about this. It's interesting because I don't have a lot of
Heavy metal?
I don't love a lot of screamo. My problem is I don't love the screamo because I love the melody. I love the lyrics and the melody. Mm-hmm. And screamo...
Yeah, I can't understand what they're saying.
You can't really get that, right? Yeah. So I don't have a ton of that. And mm-hmm. that is back when you were writing Ancestor, which I think was 2009 or 10. We were relatively new working together. You were like, I know, but here's my playlist. And I was like, yeah, I'm listening, but I'm not so crazy for that scream. You do that for every book. And I'm listening, but I'm not so crazy for that scream. And you're like, yeah, keep with it. So it turns out that's true. You know, it's kind of nice.
And that dude just, yeah, he comes out and he just absolutely owns that song. So it's way up there. But that's probably top five. It's number three. It's probably top five because Colding's a primary character in that book. And mm-hmm. that song will come out a lot.
So my number two, strangely enough, is totally different again. The Neville Brothers, who are a New Orleans band.
We're a very good mix together right here.
Yeah. This is called Sitting in Limbo.
Wouldn't say we're an alternative top 40 station, but we're close.
Yeah. And, you know, the Neville Brothers are technically all brothers. And
what does that mean, technically?
They are instead of...
Oh.
This is Neville. Aaron Neville singing.
Aaron Neville is always... I found him fascinating mm-hmm. because... He's got this sweet voice.
He's a giant
crooner. And you listen to it like, that's a nice man. Then you look at him, you're like, oh my God, I will never piss this man off no matter what happens. He's just, bro. He's like huge.
He's a giant, yeah.
He's like a bro from Muscle Beach.
And I love this. Obviously, a lot of my top five comes from me fretting about the things and stuff, apparently, because fucking Live On is totally about fretting.
Live On's great.
And Sitting in Limbo is named Sitting in Limbo.
Mm-hmm. Sitting and fretting, I guess. Sure.
Yeah. I know. I love it so much, though.
All right.
I don't have a lot to say. This is a super old song, too.
But these are interesting because we had stories for four and five. And then for number three, like just this random song. We've listened to it more than we've ever expected.
Yeah.
We don't have any significant emotional attachment to the song, but it's
there.
No,
but I will tell you this. I remember listening to this song. Putting up resistance, but I know that my faith will lead me on. I remember listening to this song the day I went to my high school graduation.
Okay.
Thinking, and it's not because of this part, but I know what I have seen, and I can't say what life will show me, but I know what I have seen. Tried my hand at love and friendship. I'm so fucking sure, you know.
But that goes back to Kenny Wayne. And I think it was Kenny Wayne. There were two blues guys, two white suburban blues dudes who came out at the same time. Like Eric something. I can't remember the other kid's name. But they came out and when they got big record deals mm-hmm. and they were getting radio play. And there were a lot of old school blues dudes who were super pissed. Like there's a lot of old school comedians who've been slugging it out for 20 years who hate Dane Cook.
Right.
Because they don't understand what Dane Cook does, right? So like there's that old man bitterness, which I get now because I'm an old man and I'm bitter. So there's a hand. And then I think it was Kenny Wayne Shepherd who's like, people like, you haven't been through enough to sing. You don't even know what the blues is about. And they were like, do you remember what it was like to be 16?
Yeah, well, and this, I mean, they were at 17. I was. Right.
But at 17, you're listening to this, like, love and experience. And, like, at 17, like, everything is so meteor crash disaster all the time.
And it's sort of a no context thing, but I'll say, like, I remember purposefully, and this is how old I am, I remember purposefully getting out this album and putting it on my turntable, literally before I left for my high school graduation. In the dress and the shoes and the cap, because you have to safety pin or bobby pin the cap to your head if you're a girl, because so your hair looks good.
Yeah.
And like had my gown over my arm. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, it's going to be okay. All you got to do is get through this. Then you can decide what you're going to do with the rest of your life. 17 years. Fucking idiot.
All right. My number two is a combo. It's a combo song. It's both on a playlist. This is Pookie's song. From Nocturnal. So I'm sure many junkie ears, if they're still listening, have perked up to this one. But it also, I called up lyrics for this one. There's some lyrics in this and the general attitude of this. The number two most listened song. The number two most listened song on my list. A long distance dedication going out to the junkies all over the USA and the world is The Offspring. It's called Half Truism. And this is Pookie's song.
Great song.
But this song... There's the chorus in this destroys me, not the right word. It's amazing. And I'm a big fan of The Offspring. I've been a big fan since it came out. We'll riff on this. We'll let it play till the chorus comes on. But it's... you reach a point in your life where you know you're going to die. Like, there's that mm-hmm. moment of realization. And sometimes it takes weeks, months. But there's that process where you're like, I'm not getting out of this. There's no immortality. This isn't going to happen. And you want to go out like a warrior. So here we go.
It's kind of our theme song.
It's become our theme song here at the office. And those lyrics, I'll play in a second. The lyrics, if we don't make it alive, it's a hell of a good day to die.
Yeah.
All our light that shines strong only lasts for so long. And this becomes more of an emotional song for me the older I get. Mm-hmm. And I start to watch people I know get sick and drop off.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that really chokes me up is when fans get sick.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, I can't handle this. Like,
right.
And we're in communication with our fans and people get sick and we've had fans die already and mm-hmm. people who've been with us from the beginning. And we've got people who can't come to Sigler Fest this year because they're sick or their parents have passed on.
Mm-hmm.
And that line that all our light that shines strong only lasts for so long. And like another big phrase here at Empty Set Entertainment is make hay while the sun shines. If we've got time to work,
mm-hmm.
we're going to work. We're not going to bumblefuck around and do a bunch of other stuff because
we make cool stuff for cool people.
Cool stuff for cool people. And we're also old enough to know at this point, this is what you should send a telegram to your 17-year-old girl who's graduating with the bobby pins in her little head, mm-hmm. is bad things are coming
right.
all the time. And bad things chew up an enormous amount of time. And then you're just effing gone. So if you've got time to do stuff and things are going good, make cool stuff for cool people.
And the crazy thing about this, and this song is a perfect theme song for us, because there's also this, like that 17-year-old version of A.
Yep.
Dude, I thought I had all the bad things. And I'm not saying that bad things don't happen to 17-year-olds.
Sure,
but I'm not
do.
Saying bad things didn't happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
I am saying that the things in my life that I wish I didn't have had to live through, they didn't happen when I was 17. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know it then. You know, they happened right. later. Or they haven't happened yet. But they weren't those things.
Okay. Okay.
And, you know, I'm not talking about I had angst about my high school sweetheart, right? I'm not, certainly not minimizing people who had serious problems. But, like, I had cancer in my elementary school, high school, junior high school years, you know?
Okay.
So I'm not talking about a little bitty shit. But it's also not the stuff that makes you. I mean, it's not the only stuff that makes you. That's the best way to say that.
But definitely, obviously, going through that is a huge part of who you became.
Sure.
All right. So that was my number two. That is the Offspring off of Rise and Fall, Rage and Grace, which is not one of their big two first albums, I don't think. And it's called Half Truism. And I think you guys would love it. A, we are now to your number one most played song in iTunes.
I can't even believe this is my most played song. I'm not going to lie to you.
Okay. Tell me again on the microphone.
I said, I can't believe this is my most played song. I can't even lie to you. I'm surprised.
This is so good.
It's Bruce Springsteen's Thunder Road from off of Born to Run, which came out before I was born. No, I was six.
No.
I was like 6 years old.
Okay.
But I love it. It's the total. This is how I see myself. Mary's dress waves. Like a vision, she dances across the porch as the radio plays. And this part I love so much. I love that idea of I want you to want me.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another part that just slays me. I'll point it out. Just what I'm here for. Here. My whole life long. Here we go. Show a little faith, there's magic in the night. You ain't a beauty, but hey, you're all right. Dude, every person I know, and especially most girls I know, have this struggle about, I have to be perfect. I'm not the head of the cheerleading squad. I'm not a cheerleader. I'm not a this. I'm not a that. I'm not a all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I loved so hard, so deep, so effortlessly, fervently, my first love, right?
Yeah,
my high school sweetheart. I went all in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of a younger, stupider, squeakier version of me. Right? I wasn't the high school. I wasn't on the cheerleading squad. I wasn't, you know, I was all right. And my whole life is sort of governed, I think, by this idea that we just talked about this today. I want enough. Mm-hmm. And enough is a variable term.
To set the stage for you guys, A wants enough.
You want it all.
I want it all.
Yeah.
So that's how we work together as a company.
Yeah. And this song sort of typifies that idea that I don't need to be the prettiest girl in the room.
Right.
I need to be all right for whoever I'm with.
Right.
Whether or not whoever I'm with is my business or my partner or my whatever, I need enough there. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm a New York girl, and Springsteen is kind of a tri-state Jersey.
Yeah,
he's a Jersey boy for sure. Definitely a Jersey boy. But
He's amazing. Yeah. He's nowhere. He's probably not even my top 100 plays.
Oh,
but
sure.
Every time you hear me, like, that's America. Springsteen is.
And this part. I got this guitar, and I learned how to make it sing.
Uh-huh.
My car's out back.
Of course.
And this part, I'll turn it up. I love so much.
Here's a song about a car.
It's your front porch to my front seat. The door is open, but the ride isn't free. For me,
sound like you got to put out, girl.
No, Scott Sigler. For fuck's sake.
I'm just asking. I'm like, no, you can ride my car, baby, but it ain't free. No,
it's all you got to do is get off your front porch. You got to leave what's comfortable.
Oh, see, I always thought
it's
that
not
was basically
about
Springsteen's version of ass, gas, or grass, and that's not it at all.
No. It's okay. I don't think so, and I'm going to continue with what I think. You can hope the girl understands she has to put out, but I am going to go with this.
Or provide gas money. It's
or
not,
grass.
Yeah, or grass. This is 1974.
What I'm going to say is this. For me, it's been quite a lifelong sort of comfort and motivation, this idea of all you got to do is get off your front porch and get in the car.
Yeah, well, there's so much of that. There's so much of that Bruce Springsteen stuff. You got to.
And so much about things that
motivate you. You've got to leave what you know, and you're probably going to fail anyways.
You totally have to risk it.
You have to risk everything to go get to accomplish anything.
And that's what I think it means. To say the door is open, like if you want to get off your front porch and get in the car, that door is open for you and I want you with me, but that ride is not going to be easy.
Although like 92.5% of Springsteen songs are about getting in a car and driving and then you never find out what happens.
That is not true. You just don't listen to enough Springsteen.
It always ends with two people driving off a cliff.
That is not true. No? That's Thelma and Louise.
Oh!
Okay. But why don't we go to your number one?
This is my number one, and Junkies, I saw these guys open up for, I'm pretty sure it might have been All That Remains, and to rip my face off. I was well past, like, you reach a certain age, you stop listening to the radio. And I'm not, and when I listen to the radio...
Also, most kids don't listen to the radio anymore.
Once again, I've dated myself with this callback to 1983, is you listen to the radio and people of our age tend to mock Justin Bieber and all those other people. And I'm like, stop being a jackass and listen to the song. It's full of hooks. It's well produced. It's exactly the kind of stuff that was on the radio when we were in high school. It's just repetitions on the same thing. These are good, well-crafted songs. These are talented people. Mm-hmm. You just don't like it because they're squeaky and young and you're a nasty old fart. That's really what it comes down to.
Which is exactly what happened with when I loved the squeaky young whatever it was when I was 17.
Yeah.
And my parents were like, that's good, dear.
Menudo, NSYNC.
Well, it wasn't NSYNC and Menudo for me. It was Duran Duran.
Duran Duran was squeaky clean. And like, of course, now people our age will be like, Duran Duran wasn't boy band. I'm like, absolutely. They were a good-looking boy band who wrote crazy, hooky pop tunes.
As was The Who.
So you sort of reach a point where it's more difficult to discover new bands. And I lived in San Francisco. And I was three blocks away from a major music theater. Not like a stadium, but a theater. So if you were top 40...
Is that the Grand Music Hall?
I can't remember.
Anyway,
No, it's not the Grand Music Hall. It's another one. But there was a lot of national acts that would tour there.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them came through. And again, I think it was All That Remains. And this band opened up for them. Maylene and the Sons of Disaster.
People are going to be so happy. Donna is going to be so happy.
Why? She likes them?
Well, Donna listens to this song when she needs to get in, like, beast mode, essentially.
Yeah, this is a beast mode song.
And
yeah.
She actually thinks this, which I crazy love. Donna Mugavero runs Sheerbrook Studio. She is our in-book designer and creative genius, diva of design. She thinks I need to get into beast mode.
Yep.
Scott Sigler is kind of a beast. I will listen to that song that he talks about all the time, which you haven't talked about all the time, but back in the day you did.
I talk about the song all the time. At well over 500, well over 500 plays. Coming in, the leadoff song from Scott Sigler's Every Day He Sits Down to Write and Can't Concentrate. He plays this song and he puts his hands on the desk and he closes his eyes and he listens to this song.
Called?
Swamp Metal. This is called Step Up, I'm On It by Maylene and the Sons of Disaster. And to finish the story about this song, this cat came out and he, like, they led off with this song. I didn't know the band. I was just like, whatever, opening band, let's get through this. An absolute rock star, I own all your bitch asses.
Right.
And
the next day, you were crazy horse, probably from this song. Just from screaming.
I immediately bought everything they put out. And you don't find that very often, but like an instantaneous connection with this band. Like this is a banjo riff. You don't hear a lot of banjo riffs. It's a banjo riff.
Yes, it is.
And it's not like, oh, let's just make an old...
Let's rephrase that. You don't hear very many banjo riffs.
Period. And this is like if Charlie Manson lived in the backwoods of Kentucky and started a band, it's these guys. Stand up. I'm on it.
Yeah, we have heard this song quite a great many times in the office.
And it was one of those moments you watch when you watch a performer who's exceptional, he or she does, come out and just blows the doors off the place. These guys completely own it. Well, it's interesting. I saw them come again 2 years later, and they're completely not in their eight game.
Interesting.
I don't know if he was in some drug trouble or having a tough time, but he just came. And like, it went from I'm a polished front man to I'm here in a dirty T-shirt and I didn't get enough sleep last night. But the first time I saw them, their albums are just named 1, 2, 3, and 4. This is off album number 3.
That's pretty smart. Don't waste creative time on shit you don't got time for.
But I will sit and I will listen to this. Say your piece. And it's basically the whole song is about, if you want to go, let's fucking go. That's the song. I may not be able to whoop you in a fight, but I'm tired of your fucking mouth. I'm tired of your mouth. So let's figure out what's going to happen with this.
Nice.
Which, as a tiny man, has happened.
Tiny angry man.
Tiny angry man has happened more often than not.
So angry.
9 times out of 10, I'll walk away. I weigh 150, dude. I'm not going to get in scuffles. But if there's going to be a scuffle, if we're going to get into it, let's fucking finish this. I'm done with you talking. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go right now. That's what this whole song is. And the video for it is absolutely spectacular because they do, like, they're on the bank of the Mississippi. There's nothing around, of course. They're doing all their guitar solos and what have you. But then a lot of the song takes place in a barn, and a band is playing, and there's like a bunch of dirty, swampy, mountainy 20-somethings rocking out to a band, and it's just spectacular because it shows you that you wouldn't expect metal to show up there, but metal shows up everywhere.
Yeah.
A lot like rap with Jay-Z, the same stuff shows up everywhere. So this is my most played song, Step Up, I'm On It by Maylene and the Sons of Disaster. I highly recommend all 4 of their albums.
They named 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Named 1, 2, 3, and 4. And now, just to one up, because that's what I do, I will go number 6, All These Things I Hate Revolve Around Me by Bullet from a Valentine.
Oh,
Don't Wait Up for Me by The Donnas. Number 7, Shout from Black Tide. If you like Megadeth, you definitely got to check that out. The Air I Breathe by All That Remains, and then Not Alone by All That Remains.
Let's see. I have, is that me? Or
that was me.
That's you. I have If I Didn't Have You by Tim Minchin, which is a fantastic, terrible song.
I can't listen to it.
Yeah.
White Wine in the Sun's the other one I can't listen to.
Yeah.
Nope.
Tim Minchin is great.
I'm out because I cry like a baby every time I listen to Tim Minchin.
And Tim Minchin's If I Didn't Have You is essentially about, like, you're fantastic, my love of my life, but if I didn't have you, I would have someone else, probably.
It's for all the people who think, fate, God created us to be together at the same time, and Tim's basically like...
He's essentially saying it's shared experiences that build a bond between you, so if I didn't have you, and you're fantastic, and I want you, but if I didn't have you, I'd probably have somebody a lot like you who I love also. Which I kind of love. I also have All You Need Is Love in my top 10. And I have Kiss Me, I'm Shit-Faced by the Dropkick Murphys.
Oh, God, I love that song.
And it rounds out.
We went
out,
to see the Dropkick Murphys together.
We did. It was so good.
In San Diego.
Yeah,
at the House of
so
Blues.
Good. It was so fantastic.
Oh, my God.
Love them so much.
If you ever get a chance to see a Dropkick Murphy song, just go. It's great.
I've Touched Too Much. And then,
AC/DC?
Yep. And that's number 9.
Damn it. I'm the biggest AC/DC fan.
And I have touched too much in my top 10.
You have AC/DC in your top 10 plays and I don't. That burns. Oh, it burns so bad.
And my 10th is a song called, if this makes it worse or better, I don't know. But my 10th is a song called Happy by a woman named Natasha Bedingfield, which is about...
I think I've heard that. Play that real quick. Then we'll finish up because we're going on 45 minutes here.
Oh, why won't I play?
Dramatic pause.
Oh, sorry. I didn't have the sound.
And now a dedication for May Kovacs to all the people she graduated with in 1989 in upstate New York. Natasha Bedingfield. That's why I remember the song, because of the guitar riff.
Yeah, I love her.
Triple hammer on pull off guitar riff. Yeah.
Totally
cool.
Depressing first stanza. Cussing me.
She English?
Yep.
That's right. White girl?
Yep.
Yeah, blonde. That's right. Blonde white English girl who sounds like this.
How am I gonna make tomorrow wear? Today's still a mess. Can you tell me what's the
point, man?
It all seems meaningless.
Thank you for tuning in to Empty Set Entertainment's Top 40 Countdown. These have been the 10 most listened to songs in all of Empty Set history in iTunes. We'd love to hear your comments over at ScottZiegler.com and find the Friday Fix. For A. Kovacs, the director of Doom,
what are you worrying
A real
about?
Girl herself, and me, your evil overlord, your future dark overlord, Scott Ziegler, we'll catch you next time, and don't let the door hit you in the ass. Goodbye, junkies.
You have been listening to the Friday Fix. Content in this broadcast is copyright of Empty Set Entertainment. For more information on author Scott Ziegler and for free weekly audio fiction, visit ScottZiegler.com. Theme music is the song City of Angels by The Distillers off the album Sing Sing Death House.